From the KTO newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep, here with local news. Juneau saw two destructive residential fires in a mobile home park in the course of just 3 days. One fire resulted in a fatality. The first fire was reported on Saturday evening at about 7:30 p.m. at the Schweitzer Village Mobile Home Park in Lemon Creek. Family members reported that 38-year-old Juneau resident Calvin Olson died in the fire. The second fire was reported before noon on Monday, less than 3 blocks away. Officials said it appeared that no one was home at the time. At the scene of Monday's fire, Capital City Fire Rescue Chief Rich Etheridge said the causes of both fires are still under investigation. But he says Juneau tends to see an increase in residential fires with the onset of cold weather.
When we have cold snaps like this, structure fires are pretty common because people are trying to find ways to heat their places. So fire danger goes way up.
Temperatures dropped to -7 degrees Fahrenheit this weekend at the Juneau International Airport. And on Monday, the National Weather Service in Juneau issued an extreme cold warning through noon on Tuesday. Etheridge says the cold weather can also cause operational issues like equipment failure. On Monday, a valve on a responding fire engine froze up and the fire hydrants weren't pushing out water with enough pressure. He says it's important for residents to check their heat sources regularly and make sure they are clear of any flammable objects. Electric space heaters should be turned off if no one is in the room with them.
And just stay safe. Check on your friends and neighbors. Make sure people got heat. And if you're running into problems, call the local heating companies and try not to jerry-rig something.
Etheridge says CCFR will share more information about the causes of the fires in the coming days. A federal grand jury has indicted two Alaska State troopers shown on body camera video beating, tasing, and pepper spraying a Kenai man in a case of mistaken identity. KDLO's Ashlyn O'Hara has more.
Joseph Miller and Jason Woodruff are each charged with violating the man's civil rights. Neither were arrested following the federal indictment. In a news release, the U.S. Attorney's Office says Miller had no legal justification for the violent arrest, and prosecutors say Woodruff illegally used his police dog to bite the man when he did not pose a threat. The arrest was captured on body cameras. The state brought charges against Miller and Woodruff last summer after a routine use of force review. State prosecutors say body camera footage shows Woodruff and Miller tasing, pepper spraying, beating, and having their police dog maul Kenai man Ben Tika during an arrest near Dobbins Beck Park. The state charging document says troopers did not ask for Tika's name during the arrest and did not learn until later that the man they'd arrested was Ben and not his cousin, Garrett Tika. Garrett had an outstanding warrant for failing to appear for a 10-day jail sentence for driving with a revoked license. The lawyer representing Ben Tika in the state case says he underwent more than $40,000 worth of medical procedures as a result of the arrest, which left him with a concussion and a broken clavicle. Miller is no longer employed by the state of Alaska. Jason Woodruff remains employed by the department but has been on leave since the botched arrest. The union contract that covers public safety employees in Alaska says employees charged with a crime over professional conduct will be put on unpaid leave. The police dog involved in the arrest was also released from the department. If convicted in the federal case, Miller and Woodruff each face up to 10 years in prison. James Cockrell is the commissioner of the Alaska Department of Public Safety. He was quick to condemn Miller and Woodruff's conduct after reviewing the body-worn camera footage last summer. In a statement to KDLL, Cockrell called the alleged civil rights violations deeply concerning and contrary to the department's values. He wrote, quote, "While this is an unfortunate day for the Alaska State Troopers, the alleged actions of these two individuals do not reflect the professionalism of the hundreds of state troopers and DPS employees who serve Alaskans with integrity every day, often in the most challenging conditions in the United States." Cockrell said the department continues to cooperate with state and federal prosecutors. Woodruff's attorney declined to discuss the case. Miller's did not respond to a request for comment. Tuesday's announcement comes as Woodruff and Miller await trial in their respective state criminal cases. They are each facing a first-degree assault charge. In September, a judge declined a request for Miller to dismiss the state's case against him. Miller and Woodruff are scheduled to go to trial next year. Reporting in Kenai, I'm Ashlyn O'Hara.
The darkest day of the year has officially passed. Now the days are growing brighter. In Juneau, many residents celebrated winter solstice with a Light the Night Nordic Ski Club gathering at the Mendenhall Campground. KTOO's Alex Solomon brings us this story from the trail.
The sun sets just after 3 p.m., casting a stripe of pink and gold alpenglow on the sheer peaks that tower above Mendenhall Glacier. Marianne Park kicks into her cross-country skis and sets off on the groomed trail.
It's just absolutely beautiful.
Ice crystals cling to her face as she returns from taking a few laps around the 3-kilometer loop.
It's really fun skiing between the lights. They got them strung all the way up around the big loop.
She's here to support the Juneau Nordic Ski Club, which organized the event as a fundraiser. As twilight falls, the temperature drops. String lights and ice lanterns illuminate the trail, shadowy figures of snow-laden evergreens, and skiers bundled up in warm layers. Although meteorological winter began December 1st with the change in weather, astronomical winter officially began December 21st on the solstice, when Earth's northern hemisphere tilts its furthest from the sun. The North Pole is shrouded in all-day darkness. The South Pole is bathed in all-day light. Tristan Knudsen-Lombardo is the executive director of the Juneau Nordic Ski Club. He clicks on dozens of battery-powered tea lights for paper lanterns.
It's to light up the darkest night and look forward to brighter days ahead.
For him, the darkest day signals the ski season, but it means more than that.
Solstice has always been such a social occasion for me, so I think it's just one more opportunity to gather.
He says volunteers run the club and groom trails around Juneau for youth teams to practice and race on. That benefits Juneau's wider cross-country community of all ages.
On like a good winter and a good day, we could have like close to 40 kilometers at different sites around town. Yeah.
Finley Hightower makes his way to a tent with homemade cookies and hot chocolate for sale.
Chocolate, tea, cookies.
He's a recent graduate from Juneau Douglas High School, Yada Akathle, and was on the Nordic ski team his senior year.
My younger brothers are still on the Nordic ski team, and I really enjoyed it last year. It's a great experience. It's great fitness. It's just awesome overall.
Hightower's here to support the team and join in the festivities. Clint Farr sells finger and toe warmers to the masses as a volunteer. He says winter solstice is a sigh of relief.
It's the place in the year where I'm like, whew, I made it. The days are going to start getting longer. I feel a lot better. It's time for a party.
As twilight turns to night, people pack in like penguins. They sip hot drinks, ski the loop, and socialize. Farr calls it a resounding success. On Skis in Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
And after more than 16 years as a staple at Juneau's State Office Building, a local musician has played his last theater organ concert. In a holiday-themed show on Friday, TJ Duffy said goodbye to a packed audience filled with longtime listeners and soon-to-be regulars. KTOO has more. A crowd of people gather in the State Office Building on a frigid afternoon. Sunshine streams through windows as they listen, and some sing along with classic Christmas carols performed on a nearly century-old Kimball Theater organ. TJ Duffy mans the keys of the massive organ, using his hands and feet to control pedals that play various pipes, wind instruments, and drums behind a nearby glass display case. Duffy moved to Juneau in 2008, but heard about the rare organ even before arriving. He says he had to clear a couple of hoops before the state approved him to perform.
I contacted the State Museum, who owned it, and they had to interview me and vet me to make sure, you know, that I knew what I was doing, because it is a museum piece. And they said, sure, go ahead.
In 2009, Duffy started joining another organist and performing on Fridays at noon. He kept it up for more than 16 years. He says some of the younger audience members are one of his favorite parts of performing.
I used to have what I called my cult following of preschoolers. They would come over here, they'd take their jackets and their boots off, they'd eat their peanut butter and jelly, and then they would get up and dance. So I would specifically save my danceable music for when they were ready to dance. And then they would rush the organ.
After concerts, Duffy typically gives an organ tour where he lets children check out the organ and play a few notes. Friday's concert was no different. He says it's a way to get them interested in music.
The State Museum prefers I don't, but I'm a big believer that if you want your kids to be a musician, you have to put musical instruments in their hand and take them to musical events. You know, because everybody says, how can I get my kid interested in piano? Get him a piano. Let him play it. Let him see people playing it.
Runa Curry went to the concert with her mom. It was a first for both of them.
I like the sounds, and then you look in the case and there's like drums that go with it too. There's so many different like instruments that go with the organ.
She says she's sad that it's Duffy's last performance, but wants to come back for future concerts with other musicians. Duffy says his last concert coincides with his retirement from the state's law department. The years have also taken their toll.
It's affected my hearing, and my abilities are decreasing, so no more public.
There are still two other performers who will continue the Friday concerts, but it's unclear how much longer that will go on. The organ is near the end of its usable life, and it would cost $250,000 to ship it to Portland, Oregon for repairs. On top of that, Duffy says it's difficult to get young people in Juneau to play the organ.
There's not that many organs in Juneau. Organists are a dying breed. AI starts manufacturing music now, you know. So this organ may very well be in its final days. And I want everybody to know that.
Now he hopes to leave the state and pursue his other interest, poker.
I'm actually hoping to move to Las Vegas this summer and check out professional poker. I love playing poker. That's my other passion, next to music.
Despite Duffy's departure and the organ's uncertain future, another concert is scheduled for this Friday at noon at the state office building with another regular at the Keys. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep. And right now at the Juneau International Airport, it's -3 degrees Fahrenheit with shallow fog. And there is a extreme cold warming in effect until 6 a.m. tomorrow. This is KTOO. For more news, head to ktoo.org. Thanks for tuning in.